Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are at the end of 2016. Can you believe it?
Not really.
I know.
It's kind of crazy.
I remember being a kid and always thinking how slow the school years went by. And as soon as I got into like adulthood, it's like the years just whip by. Like I feel like I'm like, holy crap, it's like early December again.
I know. No, it's so true. Time goes by way too quickly now, I find.
Me too. But that is why we're doing this podcast today, because I really love this idea. And I think a lot of people right now are getting into the, oh my gosh, like I need to be doing my New Year's resolutions, which are typically the same ones that we end up breaking within 6 days after January 1st. So this whole podcast is about wrapping up 2016 and how to do that on an emotional level. And then set yourself up for success in 2017. So not looking at it from a New Year's resolution standpoint, but more from, you know, more from a milestone. I know we've been talking a lot about milestones lately, but more about a mindset shift and setting milestones, which will make a huge difference. And I always find that at the end of the year, if it's been a bad year, you know, we kind of like, oh, I just want to forget about last year. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, let's just forget about last year. Last year sucked. But in all reality, it's a really great time whether your last year was good or whether it was bad. The end of the year is an amazing time to really do some life inventory. And what you can do, you know, it's a time for you to really look at that past year and look at the pros and look at the cons from it and look at the growth you've had and the lessons and set yourself up for the best emotional and spiritual and mental success that you can for the next year.
It's funny because I was going to just say exactly sort of what you were saying, which is like, even though sometimes we look back at a year and we think, oh, that was like the worst year ever. And I'm not discounting, you know, that there are major things that can happen in life to make it feel like it was one of the most horrible experiences that year, but there's always some light, you know, there's always something that is also a positive. So because sometimes the negative are so impactful, they sometimes outshine the positives. So I do think it's really important that you actually sit down and you kind of be like, okay, there is a balance, or, you know, there is at least some good to this bad.
And I mean, it all depends on your perspective on things, but you know, I always love how Deepak Chopra looks at things, and he basically talks about how there is no bad and there is no good. Because if you were to sit down and actually write out all the bad things that happened to you, and then next to them write out all the good things that happened because of that bad event, so maybe that you'll see that there is no actually good or bad. So for example, like just say you lost your job, and then, you know, in that moment, obviously we're not discounting how painful that would be in the moment, but in that moment, you're stressed, you're scared, you're upset, you know, all these things. It's a terrible 6 months. But then after that, you ended up, it pushed you to get into the job that you now are doing that you absolutely love, you know, where you met your partner. And if you had never lost the job, you never would have met your partner. So you kind of see this flow of life of how there is no finite good or bad. It's constantly ebbs and flows, and it's, if you can ride the ups and the downs and give yourself the tools to get through that, then you're going to enjoy life a lot more, as opposed to being like, this bad event happened, that sucked, let's move forward, let's forget about it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Okay. So what we're going to do, I want everyone who's listening to, and if you don't have a pen and paper nearby, pause this. So I want you to grab a pen and paper, just so you can jot down kind of what we're talking about, how to do this, because I don't want you to do this exercise with us right now. But what I want you to do, so you're going to grab your pen and paper now. We're going to go through it. But when you get down to actually doing the exercise, you're going to take this with you, and I want you to find a place that you feel very connected to yourself and very calm. So for some people, that might be going to their cottage or, you know, sitting out in nature or sitting in a warm space in their living room, but something that an area that makes you feel very calm and connected and that's very away from distractions. And give yourself about 30 to 60 minutes to do this, because you want to make sure that you can have some time that you're going to be able to really kind of go into yourself, but also that you are not giving yourself like 5 hours where you're letting your mind run all over the place. So 30 to 60 minutes is about good. Make sure your phones are off. Make sure the kids aren't home, that you're not going to be bothered, and that you're comfortable. So like you're wearing comfortable clothes and just feel, you know, very present in the situation. So the first thing that you're going to do, so if you have your pen now, you can write down the steps. So step number one is I want you to reflect. So looking back, let your mind go all the way back to January 1st, 2016. And I want you to kind of go through each month thinking about it from a personal and a professional standpoint. So kind of the way that I think the easiest way to do this is actually to write it on a piece of paper. So you would, like I would do it like all my rows would be, you know, January, February, March, April. Then I have two columns, personally and professionally. And I think it's really important to break it down into these two areas because for a lot of us, we deal with our personal or professional life very differently. So, and sometimes we might've had a really great year that was a really great personal year and professionally it kind of sucked and vice versa. So I like to kind of keep them a bit separate so you can kind of really see and focus on them in different ways. So then, going through each month, write down the things that happened in that month during the year. So this might, you know, you might need to do a little digging here because if you don't have a good memory.
Usually, I was going to say, I'm like, I have a problem always differentiating my months. Everything kind of blends in my brain now.
Well, and the thing is, it doesn't need to be perfect, right? But I just find sometimes when you're like, okay, January, where was I in January? Okay, I started that new job. You know, I went through a breakup. I had whatever it was that went on in that month. You don't need to write down a ton of details about it, but get honest here. Like this is going to be your starting point. So write down the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, like for you, Amanda, like if you look back at the year, what would have been something for you that is a standout that like, whether it's good, whether it's bad, I mean, we pride ourselves on transparency. So
it's really funny
now that you didn't think you were in here.
Well, it's funny that you're asking me this because as you're talking about sort of how to set this up, I'm sitting here like writing stuff down. I'm like, wait, I'm like, oh yeah, I got married. I'm like, no, that was in 2015. Like I can't, like I honestly have such a weird memory when it comes to timing. Like time doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, no, that was like a year and a half ago I got married. But I think if I think back, I mean, obviously one of the most predominant things that come to my mind is the fact that I am going to have a baby this year. So obviously when I think back to that time frame, it's like around February or March, because we're not totally sure. That would be definitely something from a personal standpoint that would be on the good side in terms of like, you know, we were able to conceive and we're going to have a healthy baby. So that's a big thing. You know, in terms of other things that happened, I don't know. Like I really need some headspace to be honest, to think about it. Cause it's, I don't know if it's just cause my brain is so consumed with baby right now. Cause it's coming so soon. But, yeah. And I think, well, also we had like, no, that was 2015 as well. I'm sorry.
See, no, but let's just go with that. Let's go with that. So for in February, you didn't even know you were pregnant. So let's say, you know, finding out in April that you were in March or April that you were pregnant and how that kind of started to shift it changed your life. It changed your day to day in a lot of ways. It changed your priorities. You know what I mean? Like, so just looking back at the year and looking back at some events and, you know, you can get as detailed as you want. I think just kind of keep it simple because as you start to go through the next steps, you'll start to pull out more of the emotions around it. So step number two is if you had set goals for the year before. So if in the end of 2015, you had said, okay, I have these goals for 2016, how did you end up doing against them? So if in 2015, at the end of 2015, just say you said, okay, 2016, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and I'm going to start dating. I'm going to, you know, maybe you're single. You're like, I'm going to go online and I'm going to start seriously looking for a life partner.
Right.
So let's just say those are our two examples. And again, so that's maybe, those are too personal. And let's say, you know, you want to get a promotion at work. So professional one as well. Did you meet them? Did you not meet them? And we're not saying, again, this is a good, bad, feeling guilty about yourself because you set these goals, you didn't do them, whatever. Just be, again, no emotion to this. Take the emotion out. Did you meet them? Yes or no? And if you didn't meet them, why did you not meet them? So look at the reasons why. So maybe that 20-pound weight loss goal, suddenly maybe, you know, you had a family, a death in the family, and that had totally derailed your workout plans. Or what? Or that, you know, at work, you didn't put in the effort to try to get that promotion. You actually, you know, you had these ideas that you were going to put in all this extra work to prove that you were willing, worthy of the promotion. You didn't do it. So just get honest here. So step number two, if you had set goals for the year before, how did you do against them? Number three, what do you need to improve on? So this is a big one, because again, it's about getting honest. And I find with a lot of people, this is the place where we start to be very unkind.
For sure.
Especially if you had set a goal. Like Amanda, have you ever set a goal and you didn't reach it and then you're like...
Of course. I mean, it happens all the time. even from a professional standpoint, we had a very specific goal in mind when it came to our fitness and nutrition expert certification that we didn't reach. And I took it very personal, thinking that, you know, at first I took it personal, feeling as though I didn't, you know, do my part and I wasn't good at what I did. And then I had to take a step back and then I had to really realize that no, it had nothing to do with my skills. It had to do with my time. And I wasn't committing the right amount of time to what I needed to do to get the results I was looking for. So it's, you know, when you take a step back and you look at it from a very honest place, you can take away the shame or the guilt or the personal side to make it so that you can actually see really like black and white, what is the actual cause? What is the root? And then from that, you can then fix it.
Completely. And just to clarify, even for the goal for what that was for a fitness and nutrition expert program was that we wanted to create, you know, 250 new health leaders in our last program. And while we got close to, reaching the goal, we didn't fully hit the goal. So for us,
I'm a real stickler for numbers.
Yeah. And I mean, we like to meet our goals, but then, you know, obviously we have to practice what we preach, and that is, we don't want to go to a place of self-loathing and negativity. We had to take the emotion out of it, take a step back, look at it and say, okay, what do we need to improve on to make that happen the next time? And I find in life, that's been one of my biggest shifts. When I've been able to master that kind of mindset shift of pulling the emotion out of so many things, and just trying to really look at it from like, what do I need to improve on? Like, it's almost like you turn very like technical, like very surgical. Clinical. You become very clinical about it. Like it's no more this like, oh my God, it's me. And you know, I used to go into throes of like thinking everything was like a personal thing that I did wrong and I wasn't good enough.
Right.
And when I was able to let that go, and when you take yourself out of the equation and just actually look at it clinically step by step, it's so much more enjoyable, and which sounds weird, clinical and enjoyable in the same sentence sounds very strange.
No, but I agree with you. And I think that, you know, like even when I think about from a personal standpoint of like, what do I need to improve on? One of the goals I had, as you know, was to be able to do a one-handed handstand by the end of this year. And I still can't do it. And I had to actually put it on pause because trying to achieve that while being pregnant wasn't like the coolest option. So I was like, maybe I just need to pause that. But I recognize that it's still a goal of mine. It's now going to be a goal in 2017. But when I look at it from an improvement standpoint, I'm like, I recognize the areas that I need to improve on. And it's nothing to do with me personally. It's to do with me physically. Like I need to increase, you know, the way that I can activate my lats, and I need to understand my body more in terms of like how to maneuver my strength and how to balance my body a little bit better. So it's like, it's all just about stepping back for a second and looking at it. And I know it sounds like a silly goal, but it's just a really big, it's a big one for me. I don't know why. It's just something
I don't think it's silly. And I think a lot of people, you know, if they're looking at this right now, even thinking if you had set goals for the year before, like, and just say your goal was to lose 20 pounds and why did you not hit that goal? Well, you know, cause you just say you were eating a lot of takeout because, you know, you had a family emergency and you ended up eating a ton of takeout. Well, what can you do to improve upon that? Because in the event, because life is going to happen, there's going to be family emergencies all the time. What can, do you need to do to improve upon that? Well, maybe you need to learn how to cook healthier food and you need to learn how to meal prep.
Yep.
And right there, that is something that, again, don't beat yourself up about the 20 pounds. Forget the damn 20 pounds. Think it doesn't even matter. Give doesn't get any emotion that 20 pounds. It just thinks, okay, didn't hit the goal. Now, what can I do now to set myself up for success in 2017? Because if this is a goal that I want to reach again.
Right. If it's the same goal.
If it's the same goal. Yeah.
Exactly.
So number four, you're going to write down what was missing from 2016 as you look back. What was missing from it personally and professionally? And
that's an interesting question.
Yeah. And I know one thing for me that was missing, from a professional standpoint, was I really like to do speaking engagements. And, even though my favorite thing to do is actually podcast, because I'm going to be totally honest, I love the fact that I don't have to like brush my hair or do makeup or, you know what I mean? But I love that interaction with actual people and obviously with, you know, with our chicks and people who I like feeling like my knowledge can some way help somebody else. And I get so much too from, you know, picking up that energy from other people. So that was kind of missing for me. I really want to do more face to face, but not one-on-one. I want to do group and I want to talk and I want to talk more about mindset shifting. And I want to talk more about, you know, nutrition and utilizing these things to let go of habits and reach your potential and all the things that we believe in. And I just feel like that for me was something this last year that was missing for me, even though I got a fix with doing the podcast, but,
you got your fix.
Yeah. And then from a personal standpoint, this past year, I had a lot of stuff going on in terms of my family. My nanny was very sick and my mom was gone a lot. And I just remember talking to my sister and talking to my mom, and suddenly we were looking at like dates and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in 4 or 5 months, you know? And that is something that for me is extremely important, is my family and my friends. So if I go a long period of time without seeing people, I don't do very well. So, that was something that was missing for me, was a lot of family time, and I had a lot of great friend time, but I definitely this year, am making my family time a lot more of a priority.
No, for sure. I think that you need to, I think that it's important though, to look back and see the things that you did miss and to kind of figure out like, well, if you missed it 1 year, how can you make it a focus the next?
Well, exactly. And this is all part of your life inventory we're doing right now. You know what I mean? Because we're looking in the past. And I'm not a person who likes to look in the past. I am very forward thinking, as are you. So, you know, we're constantly thinking of ideas for the future and things we want to do and all this great stuff. But so, you can't move on from the past until you've come to kind of terms with it. And a lot of times there is a lot of emotion that's wrapped around these goals that we didn't meet, that we set for ourselves, and we feel like a failure, and then we carry that feeling with us into the next year and into the next year. So it's like, just do this life inventory, and I honestly guarantee it will help you come to peace with a lot of stuff, wrap up 2016, send it love, and then move into 2017 with a different, lighter heart and open mind. And you know what I mean? Like, you're just
kind of clean slate.
Yeah. You're kind of packaging up all the good, the bad, the ugly, and let it be in 2016. You know, you can't change it now, but there was amazing lessons that happened during that year that either you take them or you ignore them. And if you choose to take them, you will learn so much. And if you choose to ignore them, you're going to stay in the exact same place as you have always been. So this is where, as we kind of looked at what was missing from the last year, and I know I asked a friend of mine this, because I was like going through this, you know, we're doing this podcast and we're going to be talking about this. I'm like, what would you say? And she was like, what was missing was sharing the past year with a partner, because she's been single for a very long time. And it was kind of an aha moment from her, because she was like, I did all these great things as she was going through her month to month, January, February, there was great travels, there was great things at work. And the one thing though, that was blaring to her was that she didn't have anyone to share it with.
Right.
So what's she doing now? She's getting on to, you know, making it a commitment that she's going to start online dating and putting herself out there.
No, for sure. And I think when you bring things to light, it's all about then creating an action plan for it.
Exactly. So number five that you're going to write down is, what habits or things did you create or commit to in 2016 that were going really well? Where were you excelling? So we've looked back at what was missing. Now, what did you create or commit to in 2016 that actually went really well for you? And like, Amanda, do you have anything? What do you?
I think one of the habits that I created in this past year, if I'm remembering the year correctly, is that.
Oh, wait, that was 2012. Sorry.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. It really doesn't differentiate time. No, I've always been like this. I can't tell you if like something was from when I was 15 or 20. Like I have no recollection of time.
No, but I'm the same. And that's because we're forward thinking.
Yeah. It makes no impact on me. But one of the things that I know I could say, cause it's very like, it is within 2016, even though it's kind of recent, but one of the commitments that I did, that's one of the habits, is about cooking more at home and trying new recipes. And I don't know if my husband would agree that I'm excelling at it, but because they don't always turn out. Like I have a lot of like kitchen fails, but generally speaking, I feel as though I've excelled in it because I've made a commitment to it and I've stuck to that commitment. So I try a new recipe every single week. So that's sort of my commitment, is one new recipe a week minimum. And I meal prep all the time, and I pre-plan sort of our week every Sunday so that I know exactly what I need to buy at the grocery store. And I'm just a lot more organized. And just by doing that, it has helped me excel in different areas in our life, because now I have more time for other things. And, you know, when I feel more organized in that area, it takes a lot of stress out of the other parts of my day. And then I also feel really excited about it, because it's like, I'm trying new dishes and I'm trying new foods, and you know, I'm able to share this and sit down and have like a really nice dinner every night, as opposed to just kind of rushing about and trying to figure it out last second what I'm going to eat. So that's
awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I love cooking. I think one of the habits that I created in 2016 that I'm so happy I did is that I'm no longer holding things in. I'm sharing how I feel a lot more. And again, that doesn't necessarily always mean it's a positive feeling I'm having, but if I'm upset about something or I'm angry or I'm hurt, I'm sharing that and I'm vocalizing that, and I'm getting it out as opposed to internalizing anything. And the same thing with gratitude. When I'm thankful and I'm loving, I'm really trying to vocalize and share that. And that has been something for me that in 2016, especially coming from a background of having an eating disorder and living with a lot of secrets, and, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets, living with so much secrets and acting like everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I'm like, no, I'm not fine. And I'm not fine because of this. And
right.
For me, this past year, being able to express and taking away, and I know I've said this in a lot of podcasts, but not giving away your power, because you have the power inside of you if you're going to be a victim or if you are going to be a survivor. And as soon as you give your power to other people, like if you let somebody else really make you angry and you keep hating them and you can't forgive them, whether you want them in your life or not, if you can't forgive them, they're still winning. You know, they're getting your anger. all the time. You're not winning. So the more you can express, the more you can let things go. It's just incredible. So for me, that's been the one thing I think in 2016 that I've been really, I've really committed to. And I find that I've has really changed me is that I just, I'm not scared to be emotional, whether that's a good emotion or a bad emotion.
That's huge. That's a really tough thing to do.
Oh, completely. Like, but it's just, it's funny because once you start to practice these types of new behaviors, you can't go back. Like once you open Pandora's box and once you, you cannot close it again. You can't go back to just bottling things up because you know how bad you feel when you hold it in. You know what I mean? It's like exercising. Like, you know, until you've started changing your habits, you don't know how good you're going to feel. So you can't go back because you know now when, if you go back, you're going to feel like garbage, even though when you didn't exercise, you didn't even know you didn't feel like you felt like garbage.
Agreed.
Okay. So that's kind of our for 2016. So I want you to look back at all of this and sit with it for at least a day. So going through the five steps again, if you didn't write them down, you're going to start off by reflecting. So you're going to let your mind go back to January 1st, 2016. You're going to go through each month and just write down each month professionally and personally, two columns, everything that happened in that past year, the good, the bad, the ugly. Get raw. Like, no one's going to see this. This is for you. So put it all out there on paper, get it out of your heart, out of your head and onto the paper. And this is going to be your starting point. Secondly, if you had set goals for that for the year before, so 2016, how did you do against them? So again, these are your personal professional goals. Did you meet them or did you not? And if not, why did you not meet them? Number three, what do you need to improve upon? So like I said, this is the big one. You want to do this without being unkind to yourself. So this is not saying I'm bad at all these things. This is just saying, honestly, why did you not meet those goals? And what do you need to improve upon? What areas were you sucking in that caused you not to meet those goals? And how can you improve on those? Number four is what was missing from this past year as you look back. And again, that's personally and professionally. What do you feel there was a hole in the last year that you could fill? And then number five is what habits or things did you create or commit to in 2016 that were going really well? Where were you excelling? So now you've done this exercise. I want you to put that book away and sit with this information for at least a day. Not too long, not longer than 3 days, but sit with it for at least a day to let it resonate. You know, and feel it, because there's going to be some things that are going to come up from the past year. Feel that happiness, feel the joy of all these things that happened, feel the hurt. And that's okay. You know, if you lost a loved one, or if you went through a really traumatic breakup or a hard time in a relationship or whatever it is, let yourself hurt, let yourself feel it, and look at all the lessons from the last year, but then let them go. Like, close your book, like you're closing 2016, send it love and kindness. And put it away. And some people even burn it. But I like to keep everything. So just close to this, literally close the book. And as you're closing it, think, I'm closing 2016. I'm sending it love and kindness. Whatever happened this year happened for a reason. And I'm ready to go into 2017 being the fiercest, most amazing chick that I can be. So after you've waited now for your day, so now it's time to set it up for 2017. And you're going to start a new book or a new page. So again, you always want to break it down to personal and professional. So this is where we're just going to keep it simple. You don't have five steps to do here. It's just one. So we're going to write 3 to 5 milestones that you want to hit. But the thing is that when it comes to any goal setting or milestones, you don't just want to set the goal. People always talk about SMART goals, you know, like specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time sensitive. Hey, that's great. But I also believe you have to set an action to go with the goal or you're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. So there's just a little way that we kind of, I found this actually from a website and I'm going to put it onto the blog as well. But it's basically a form of writing out your goals and then your action step. So the way it works is it would say like as a, and then you would include your type of user, like what, who you are, I'm committing to then your goal so that for your reason. And the action is going to be to ensure that your goal, I'm committing to the habit or the action that's going to make it happen. So hearing this is a little bit hard to understand. So I just put a couple of examples. Like, so an example of this would be, so my goal is, as a health professional, I'm committing to doing 200 podcasts on fitness, nutrition, and wellness so that I can be viewed as an authority in the space of health and help my goal of reaching 10,000 women to change their health and lives. How, my action to ensure that I do 200 podcasts, I'm committing to creating a podcast calendar of topics by January 15th, 2017. So you can kind of see how it becomes a lot better than just being like, I'm setting a goal for like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds by January 5th or whatever it is, or by March 5th. You're committing to it. What is your action now you're also committing to? So mine was, I'm committing to 200 podcasts. And how am I doing that? I'm doing it by creating my podcast calendar by January 15th.
No, for sure. If you don't have an action in place, like if you don't have an action plan in place, you're never actually going to reach that goal. It's like even what I was saying to you about, you know, my goal of being able to do a one-handed handstand. It's not just about my action to that is I will work on activating my lats every time that I'm doing my upper body workouts. And then I'm also registering for a workshop that is specifically around handstands and the date and then everything else. So then I would include all of that detail as part of my action plan.
Exactly. Like, you know, so like that one I just gave was like an example of a professional one, but then like a personal one could be like, as a healthy mom, I'm committing to doing 4 workouts per week to reach my goal of consistent weekly exercise and leading by example for my family. My action plan is to ensure that I do 4 workouts per week. I'm committing to joining my local gym today and attending on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the morning so I can get my workouts in and still have active family time with my kids on the weekend. So that's, and again, if you didn't get that, it's okay. We're going to put the flow of how to write out these goals on the website, but which is on, is going to be at fitchicks.ca. But it's just, I find it very easy because a lot of times people, they, when you have a fill in the blank kind of formula to write your goals and examples, it makes it a lot easier to actually write them, you know, because you're like, how do I fill this out? How do I flow this? It makes it very simple to write them. And I also think it's very important when you're doing your goal, like you were saying, to have your action plan, but also to have your reason. What is your motivation? So my motivation to do 200 podcasts is because I want to help 10,000 women change their health and lives in 2017. So I know that the days I don't want to do the podcast, I think, okay, no, I want to help 10,000 people. Like that's my motivation. So I have to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Or if you're the mom, it's, you know, it's the fact that you want to feel good in your skin. You want to be a good example for your kids. Like include your motivation in it because that it will fuel your fire the days that you don't have motivation. Okay, so with that, we're going to wrap it up. We're wrapping up 2016. We're heading into 2017. I'm feeling good.
Definitely feeling good, yeah.
Okay, so what is your biggest takeaway from today?
My biggest takeaway is probably just about having no guilt. So as you're doing this exercise, oftentimes it's so easy to fall into, you know, to the guilty side of like, oh, like you start focusing more on the negative. And like what I was talking to at the very beginning of the podcast, it's so easy for the negative to outshine the positive. And so oftentimes we will fall into that trap of like focusing on the negative stuff, kind of forgetting about the highlights, unless they're big ones, and then kind of getting into this guilt trap. And so my biggest takeaway for you is just to really see it from like an outsider looking in. Like if you had somebody that was telling you these things, like you had a friend of yours that was telling you like, oh, well, this is where I need to improve. You wouldn't shame them for it, you know? So think about it from like a very compassionate place and try not to take it in a personal matter, but try to take it as more of a way of just reflecting.
I love it. And my biggest takeaway, and it's not even necessarily a takeaway, I think it's kind of more of an added point, I guess, in the sense of like, building on what you're saying, because I do think, you know, it's so important to get raw and to get honest and let yourself feel it. And, you know, not only things that might've happened to you, but things that you have done. We're so bogged down with guilt and shame and self-loathing and anger. And all of those emotions come from fear. And a lot of times it comes from fear that we're not good enough. And it comes from fear that we're not going to get what we want or we're not deserving of the things that we want. And you really need to let yourself feel it and let it go, because you are completely worthy and enough of, for all of these things. But until you start believing you are, you will never be able to achieve them. So I really think it's, you know, do this exercise and do it honestly, and, you know, don't rush yourself through it. If you need a little bit more time, let yourself really, you know, embrace all of that went on in 2016, and then set those goals from a really honest and loving place for 2017. Don't do them from a place of any anger, because we want to even bring the energy into 2017 that's positive. So with that, I want to send you guys a ton of love for the end of 2016. I know for me, it's been a roller coaster year. There's been a lot of beautiful things and there's been a lot of not so beautiful things, but at the end of it, I feel like I'm a better person. Because I was able to embrace and, you know, really, really take on the changes I need to make, not only the changes in things around me. So I'm just sending everyone lots of love. I know Amanda wants to send everybody lots of love too.
Yes. No, of course. Of course. I was just waiting. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, I just think it's a beautiful time. And I think we all have a lot of amazing things ahead of us. So with that, chicks, you of course know you can find more information on us at fitchicks.ca. This will be posted on our blog along with this podcast. So if you didn't have a chance to jot it down, you can go over there and get this exercise. Please share it with anyone you know too who needs this type of life inventory. That's kind of the only way I can describe it, as life inventory. And, you know, if you know anyone who is just really stuck and can't move forward, or has had a really crappy year and is looking at some ways to kind of let it go, or a great year and is looking at some ways to keep that flow going, this is a really good one to share with them. So it'll be posted at fitchicks.ca. Of course, you can get more information on us on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our Instagram at fitchicks. And we do have two new courses starting in the new year as well under our Fitchicks Academy, where we always meld in all of our mindset stuff as well, because we focus on a holistic approach with our natural weight loss coach program and our fitness and nutrition expert program. So you can get more information at fitchicksacademy.com. And I just want to wish you guys a happy new year.
Yes. Happy new year. Have an amazing, amazing rest of 2016 and start 2017 off with so much love and gratitude.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.